Welcome to It's All Recruiting, the show that looks at everything through the lens of recruiting. I'm your host, Jim Stroud.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another action-packed episode of It's All Recruiting with your host, yours truly, Jim Stroud. Hello, friends. I am very excited. Very excited. How excited am I? I don't even know how to explain it. I will be speaking at Sourcing Summit Asia next month, and I have a big smile on my face like the Joker or the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland. It's just all smiles, and I'm all excited because not only do I get to share and I get to learn, but I also get to hang out with some friends of mine over in Singapore and in Australia, for that matter. And as I was thinking about my semi-world travel through Asia coming up, I wondered what's it like to recruit in Australia? Because normally when I think of Australia, I'm thinking of Crocodile Dundee and Shrimp on the Barbie. But I know that that won't get me very far if I'm going to be recruiting there or talking with people about recruiting in Australia. So I reached out to a couple of new friends who happen to know the Australian market pretty well, and I invited them to this podcast, and they were very gracious to join me here and talk with me. So if you would, new friends, introduce yourselves, who you are, and what you do.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having us, firstly. So my name's Justin Babette, and I'm the CEO of Job Advisor, and we also have a new product out soon called Job Vibe, and I'm here with Tim.
And my name's Tim Mullen, and I'm one of the co-founders of Job Vibe.
Nice, nice. Now, what is it that Job Vibe does? And tell me about your new product as well, just out of curiosity.
Okay, so Job Advisor is our first product, jobadvisor.com.au. It's it's an employer branding tool. For lack of a better term, basically the way that we operate is to help employers to find candidates that are a good culture fit, and to help employers to be more transparent in the way that they, I guess, communicate their story and what it's like to work for their business to, I guess, to the candidate market. And our new product, Job Vibe, which is VIBE.me, jobvibe.me, is a tool that's also related to transparency. So in terms of managing staff once they're in the business and retaining staff, we're obviously still big believers in transparency as it relates to the way that employers engage and build engagement within their culture. And Job Vibe is a tool that helps them do that.
Okay, very cool. Now, if you would, tell me about recruiting in Australia. How difficult is it these days, or is it not difficult at all to recruit in Australia?
It's a very big question, Jim. it depends on the role, I guess. My background's IT and digital media recruitment, and I used to run a business in Australia called Expand Group, which is, been around since around 2000, 2001. And we've seen the market evolve a lot over that time, and like with all things, it goes through peaks and troughs. And I think at the moment, It's becoming increasingly difficult to find good candidates again. Our unemployment rate's still reasonably low, and when that's happening, the available talent market is pretty restricted. And so, it's the same challenges that you'd probably find in the US. I think there's a lot of similarities between the Australian and the US market. You mentioned Asia, and I guess I've got some experience in Singapore as well, and I think the same challenges exist there. It's probably exacerbated in Singapore because the Singaporean market seems to be doing very, very well. So, in Australia, the usual suspects exist of job boards. LinkedIn is obviously a very widely used tool. Social media is dabbled with. I don't think anyone's really nailed social media as a recruitment channel, at least in terms of when you measure where the placements are actually coming from. I think if you look at the stats in Australia, the majority of placements are still coming from job boards like Seek, for example. A couple of the big job board aggregators like Indeed are in the market now, and Australia has its own aggregated jobseeker.com, which is now owned by Seek. And I guess the aggregators are doing a pretty good job in providing a lot of volume. Probably the biggest challenge, though, if you can consider those points around the job board market, is one of quality rather than quantity. And have you had the similar sort of experience in the US market? Is quality the biggest challenge for you guys?
I guess it's sort of across the board. And again, it also depends on what you are recruiting for. Here, it's not a matter of finding people per se. And even in saying that, depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a data scientist, for example, you're going to have some sleepless nights. But if you're looking for something that's more plentiful, let's say a Java developer, it won't be hard finding them. The challenge is getting them to leave where they are to come to you.
Yeah, exactly the same, yeah. And if, for example, with the sourcing through job boards, it's the same sort of thing. I guess it's a good analogy for the market in that you usually get a lot of applications but not so many great candidates. And so we're definitely finding in the Australian marketplace, and I guess take this with a grain of salt, I guess we sell an employer branding tool, but we're definitely finding that companies are focusing very heavily on how can they differentiate, how can they brand themselves as an employer in the market in a way that helps them stand out from the crowd. And I guess that's a reaction to the realities of that market where, there's plenty of applications but not necessarily a lot of candidates. So most employers that we're talking to say that they'd like to reduce the quantity of candidates applying but increase the quality of candidates applying. So, going back to my original comments around being a relatively low unemployment rate, the good candidates can take their pick in this market, and I guess that really starts to hone in on the necessity to be very good at attracting the right sort of candidates and putting the right sort of message out to market around why you might be a good employer or good potential employer.
That reminds me of the phenomenon of the millennials. They tend to, at least the stereotype is they hop around from job to job, so they may stay in a position for two, three years, maybe a little less than that, then they're going off to the new adventure. Is that the same thing happening over there as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're seeing a global trend towards, it used to be a job for life, and these days it's much more becoming, I guess, a freelance market, if for lack of a better term. There's obviously still the majority of people are in permanent roles, but I think as in line with that trend, we're seeing people change roles a lot more quickly. When I first started in recruitment back in the late 90s, changing jobs every 3 or 4 years was acceptable. It seems like as long as you've got 12 months these days on a resume, that's acceptable in terms of tenure and, I guess, sticking around and sticking it through with that job. So, yeah, look, I think it's a big challenge for employers. I think that's probably why we've seen in the local market here a big shift towards trying to reduce the reliance on agencies as that turnover increases. The rate of hiring increases, relying on recruitment agencies becomes very expensive. And not that I think there won't be always a place for recruitment agencies, but we're definitely seeing a big shift towards insourcing the recruitment function and building out the capability of internal sourcing teams. And so I guess that's coincided with that push towards employer branding and internal referral programs and all of the sorts of things that we're starting to see in the Australian marketplace at the moment is really just a reaction to the fact that the volume's increased.
With the demand for quality candidates over quantity of candidates, is there a fine line to walk between recruiting people inside of your country as opposed to recruiting expatriates or trying to relocate people from other countries over to Australia?
I think in Australia it's always been pretty hard to recruit people from overseas, maybe because we're an island in the middle of nowhere. There seems to be a bit of hesitation. And the Australian government, in terms of the visa rules, they tend to change quite a lot and they're quite strict at the moment, which makes it harder and quite expensive. So, certainly clients that I've worked with at a recruiting level as a majority, would shy away from bringing in overseas talent. There are certainly those companies that want overseas talent, but I'd say they'd be the minority. And that just, again, exacerbates the whole local recruitment scene when we're sourcing from a limited pool of candidates. Having said that, if candidates have landed in Australia and are interviewing in Australia, they won't find it terribly difficult at all. And companies are very open to that. But certainly interviewing someone from the other side of the globe, paying for them to relocate and, I guess making a decision over Skype or phone is, there's still a lot of hesitation around that.
What kind of job if a job seeker were to vacation in Australia, say Sydney, for example, with the unemployment rate being so low, it's not hard for them to find a job. But what kind of job would be hard for someone to land in Australia? If my question makes sense there.
Don't know if I could answer that. It's probably a pretty broad question to look at. I guess maybe I could approach it from the other side of things. Usually the roles that that fill more quickly. So, for example, if you're in the American market or the UK market, certainly within my view of the world, within digital and IT, Australia seems to be a little bit behind those markets in terms of technology and innovation online. So I definitely think that people with those technical skill sets that have experienced the cutting edge in other markets will be in extremely high demand in Australia. So, I guess that's probably the best advice I could give around. And if you've got experience within an industry or a role type that would be considered cutting edge in Australia, you wouldn't find it difficult at all.
Okay. Now, when you mentioned how you guys find your candidates, you mentioned the job boards pretty much and LinkedIn and the aggregators like Indeed. Here in the States, we have we do a lot of sourcing, doing Boolean searches to find candidates on the Internet through search engines and so on. Is that a large phenomenon in Australia?
You know what, Jim, We built our own research to, or resourcing team using Boolean and all of those sort of techniques back in 2005. And back then it was very innovative and very cutting edge. And I think there's definitely a strong place for it. I think it's definitely a growing industry in Australia, but I don't feel like it's taken off like it has in the States. And I feel like the reason for that is that companies have realised that it can be very expensive to focus a lot on that style of sourcing if you don't have the right sort of processes in place. So what I mean by that is that if you're a recruitment agency like I was running and you're investing a lot in sourcing and research and whatnot, you need to make sure that you're getting an outcome for that time spent. Otherwise, it can be very expensive. And so, yeah, look, I think we're probably a little bit behind you guys in that sort of side of things, but it's as a skill set and as something that's reasonably well known in this local market, I think it's pretty well established. That's a good way to source talent, particularly when it's a rare or hard to find skill set.
I imagine candidate engagement there would be really strong since it's such a limited talent pool. What I'm trying to ask is that. In Australia, I imagine that you guys would treat your candidates, given a red carpet treatment, so to speak. Here in the States, some recruiters don't. They take them for granted, unfortunately, and they miss out on opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair comment. I think in this smaller market, you need to. I think from a recruitment agency perspective, I think the only way really to differentiate these days is through giving candidates the red carpet treatment. I mean, if we go back to when I started in recruitment, the agency with the biggest database wins, right? So, and that's how agencies used to sell themselves to their clients. We have the biggest database. Whereas with tools like LinkedIn and techniques like Boolean searching, really everyone has access to the data these days. So I think the companies that will win are those that have got the better relationships. And certainly when you look at from a recruitment agency perspective, the agencies can win, well, I guess can provide a lot of value to their customers when they understand their market segment, their candidate segment in a lot of depth, and they have very strong relationships with those candidates. And so that's an employer's challenge as well, in that, you know, most employer recruiters in-house at employers need to be quite broad and to be able to cover all of the different types of roles that exist, and therefore by nature it becomes very difficult to have a very, you know, detailed, deep knowledge of any particular candidate segment, and it becomes very difficult also to have a well-maintained, active talent pool of candidates. And so, you know, I definitely think that's the challenge for agencies to build very strong relationships. And look, for employers too, it's absolutely critical. I think, you know, the employers that recruit in advance of roles. So we used to call it, you know, we used to talk to clients about just-in-time recruiting versus over-the-horizon recruiting, and you know, just-in-time recruiting being very reactive. We need someone to start tomorrow, and you know, you go through the usual channels to try and source someone as quickly as you can. But the smarter companies that we've seen are definitely focused on over-the-horizon recruiting, where, you know, they've built their talent pools, they've built a good relationship with candidates, and it might not be a very big talent pool. It might only be a handful of people that they're, I guess, interacting with and conversing with on a regular basis. And those are the companies that are definitely doing the best when it comes to, I guess, you know, getting those quality candidates. It makes so much sense. I mean, I'm probably preaching to a converted audience here, but it makes so much sense to build a relationship with someone over time, so that when it comes time to hire, they know that they want you, and you know that that you want them, and you just remove so much competition for that quality candidate by taking that long-term approach. So, yeah, I definitely think approaching it from that perspective is the smart way to do it.
I definitely would agree with you there. Ironically, though, a lot of the recruiters that I've spoken with in passing or at conferences and whatnot, they usually are swamped with 40-plus recs at a time, especially if they're a corporate recruiter. And so they feel like they don't have the time to really cultivate relationships when they have so many different jobs that they have to fill at the same time.
Absolutely.
So it's sort of a really catch-22. But what I'm hearing from you is that you have the advantage in one respect in that you have a tight market. So it forces you to be more proactive or over the horizon in your thinking.
Well, I don't know if it forces you to, but it definitely encourages you to. And going back to your point, look, I totally take your point that a lot of recruiters have got a lot of recs, and there's just the reality of sourcing that many roles. You know, 40, 50 roles. I mean, that's a lot of ground to cover, particularly when you know, to be successful these days, you can't really rely on what I'd call passive sourcing channels, so job boards, for example. You really need to get out there and find people and contact them directly, and, you know, through LinkedIn or through your own sourcing through your Boolean searches, and that's very time intensive. And so there's a real, I guess there's a real need to find some balance around how you do that. And I guess if you're always being very reactive, you're always going to be in that, you know, important slash urgent quadrant of the approach, where, you know, you're just busting your guts to fill all of those recs from a standing start. Whereas if you can find some time to be more proactive and start to build some talent pools, then gradually over time you can start to eat away at that, you know, very urgent reactive approach. But I guess the other thing is one of the interesting things we're seeing now is that there's tools coming out to really start to leverage the referral side of things. So I think if we look at most internal recruiters, employers' internal referral programs, they're pretty terrible, at least pretty terribly maintained, in that there's no real system behind it, and it's very time intensive to both collect referrals and keep referees up to date. So we're definitely seeing a big push for technologies that support that. So one of our partners is a company called PeerBrief.com, and they have a number of tools that help to do that, so that rather than need to be very hands-on in, I guess, searching LinkedIn to find people that might be right for your role and reaching out to them, you can actually leverage the power of the crowd to do that. So pushing that I guess, that responsibility out to other people within the business, employees within the business, to then reach on out to people that they know. And so I think we're definitely seeing tools that are coming that will buy recruiters a lot more time and still enable them to be very proactive in their go-to-market.
Very good point, because I was having a conversation with some about that just the other day. I was arguing that a good recruiting strategy may entail a good retention strategy. There's a song, there's an old blues song that says it's cheaper to keep her. That it's cheaper to keep your wife than to divorce and have it cost you half of your wealth. In terms of retention, which is definitely a hot issue here in the States, and I believe globally, I imagine that would be a very hot issue over there, with unemployment being so low that it's, I imagine it's paramount to hold on to the people that a company has, because it just alleviates the problem of trying to recruit somebody to replace them. Is that the case? Am I guessing right?
Absolutely. Well, look, retention's, I think, always been a big issue. We all know, as you say, how expensive it is to recruit someone, train them up, you know, pay a recruitment fee, or at least have a lot of time and effort, you know, going to finding that person. And then to have them walk out the door, I mean, and you're back to square one, that's extremely expensive, right? So I think retention's always been a big part of it. I think that was actually one of the key drivers behind wanting to launch JobAdvisor. So, you know, I think where a lot of employers get it wrong is that they don't understand the power of being transparent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a natural inclination from recruiters, and I've been guilty of this too, that you see a great candidate and you want to sell them the dream. You want to tell them how great it is. You've got to join this company for X, Y, Z reason. And when you do that, invariably it becomes very easy to set an expectation that can't possibly be met. And when that happens, invariably that candidate, once they start and become an employee, they'll be let down, or at least have their trust eroded in that company. And I think that's where retention issues really begin, is when, you know, it's a mismatch of expectations. And expectation management, I think, is really the most critical part of the recruitment process to get right. You know, with JobAdvisor, I guess our sell, if you like, to employers is to say, get it right at the outset. You know, be honest about the challenges and as much as you are about the opportunities. And if you do that, you will turn away some people, but you'll actually, more often than not, attract the right sort of people that are going to stick around for the long term. And, you know, that's I think, a really critical part of the recruitment process that is very easy to forget. And I think the other thing around retention is people are starting to realise that a successful placement isn't necessarily the best source, it isn't necessarily the best measure of candidate source. Really, one of the best measures of candidate source is retention. And, you know, going back to my earlier point around referrals, you know, referrals have been proven time and time again to be the best source of candidates that stick around. And, you know, that's why we partnered with PeerBrief. You know, we really see employer branding on the JobAdvisor platform going hand in hand with, a world-class referral program. And if your employees are going to be, or even indeed if other people outside of your business are going to be referring your company as a potential employer, then you want to be able to give them the information that they need to, effectively sell the organisation to their friends and colleagues, and but also sell it in a very honest and open way. I think you've got very little chance of getting employees to, repeat the marketing spiel about what it's like to work for your company. It's much better to have them repeating a heartfelt, honest appraisal of what it's like to work for that company. It's much more believable and much more trusted. And I think that's how you get the quality candidates. If you can build a high degree of trust in the candidate market about what you're saying, you know, is true and accurate, and then I think you've set yourself up not only to attract the best sort of candidates, but also to retain them.
So true. You mentioned earlier how, also as well, just to sort of backdoor that a little bit, you mentioned how the sources of hire tend to be the job boards and LinkedIn and so forth, but no one is really doing social media or social recruiting, leveraging it that much in Australia. I'm curious, and I say that because, as you mentioned retention, as you mentioned the ways of keeping people in your company, with social media being what it is, people talk, and I'd imagine if you have a bad culture, word would get out fairly quickly, and in a small environment or a more limited population, that's going to spread even further, even faster. So I imagine that culture would have to be like a paramount thing companies have to be concerned with.
Yeah, look, I guess it depends on how you define social media and what you're using it for. So I think social media is brilliant for branding. It opens up, you know, JobAdvisor is designed to do this, but also anything like Facebook, for example, or Instagram opens up the culture of the organization so that you can get a real sense of the people behind it. And that's what any candidate is going to be primarily concerned about, is the people behind the brand. And so social media can be a great storytelling platform, and again, JobAdvisor is designed to help you do that in a real authentic way, so that, you know, you not only show you the pictures and the videos and talk about what it's like there, but you back it up with real life stories. It's, you know, in other words, reviews, right? So I think that's a big part of it. But I wouldn't say that there's no one using social media. I think that there's definitely people using social media. I just don't feel like, as far as a mainstream channel, it's necessarily the panacea of sourcing. It's not. And I think, going back to my original comments, you know, in terms of where candidates are coming from, I think there's a shift. There's definitely a trend away from job boards, but still, job boards would be the primary source of candidates for a lot of companies. And if you threatened to most recruiters to turn off their ability to advertise jobs, you'd probably have a rebellion in most organisations. So, but that doesn't mean that there's not opportunities. And so I think the big opportunities, as you say, are around building, a reputation, if you like, and understanding what people are saying about your brand, and understanding what people are saying about working for you. And I guess rather than ignoring it or trying to suppress those sort of conversations, it's much more advantageous to join that conversation and to guide that conversation, to be a part of the community, if you like, and that's where the big opportunities are in social, whatever the platform for that. And part of that as well is I always equate recruiting to find people. I always equate the apply now button like a buy now button on an e-commerce website, right? So the same sort of marketing fundamentals apply. And so how do you market a product? Well, you can ram it down people's throats and say buy now, buy now, buy now. Or you can be a thought leader, and you can be producing a lot of content that adds value to the community, and really establishing your brand and a lot of goodwill around your brand as a brand that knows what they're talking about, they care about the community, they're adding value. And I think it's the same for recruitment, and social channels are a great way to be able to to be thought leaders in the industry and to add value to the community. So when you do that. When you do that effectively, I think you're really starting to leverage those channels in the right sort of way to get a recruitment outcome as well.
Well said. Before we wrap up, I'm realizing that I might be overlooking Tim. It's kind of quiet there. You wanted to interject then?
Sorry, Tim.
I'm just enjoying the conversation.
Very cool. If somebody wanted more information about JobAdvisor, for example, or JobVibe, I'm going to add links to that in the description, but for the sake of those listening right now, how can they find out more information about your company?
Yeah, well, I guess the links are a good place to start. Look, we're really excited about JobVibe. I think it's a natural extension of JobAdvisor in a way, but it is a standalone product. Maybe I'll let Tim talk about that. That might be your.
Well, I think it's just been interesting to listen to the conversation, particularly around retention, because I think, as you mentioned, Jim, that when it comes to that, the culture and the engagement piece globally, I mean, I think we are seeing this explosion in the interest in that specific sector. And I don't think it's necessarily something that has always that hasn't been there per se. It's just that people haven't been perhaps as vocal as they are nowadays. And you know, some of the stats that you see are quite staggering. A great report came out from Deloitte earlier this year about the Human Capital Trends Report, and particularly looking at that when talking about retention, that you know about two thirds of the people that responded to that are looking at updating those retention strategies in the face of a huge demand for people looking at culture as the one thing they want to get right when it comes to being part of their organisation. So that's where we see JobVibe playing a very key part. We're very passionate about trying to make a workplace transparent and trying to give people the tools that, you know, to make things simple when it comes to actually listening to feedback and acting on that as well. Because there have been some of the major concerns that people have often had. You know, one, are you listening to me? But two, are you then actually taking any feedback or action off the back of that? So, you know, for us, if you wanted to have a look at more information, yeah, the website is a great place to start. And the tool, you know, we're seeing more and more traction every day. So, but it's something I think, as I said, we're more interested in about helping people than anything else, because we've seen a lot of stuff in our own time in our respective organizations. So, yeah.
Very cool. Well, I look forward to hanging out with you guys hopefully soon when I go over to Sourcing Summit Asia later on next month. Time flies. And we'll hang out and talk some more about all of this then. But until next time, thank you so much for being on It's All Recruiting.
Thanks, Jim. Good to chat to you, mate.
Thank you so much for listening. If you were not there, then I would be here talking to myself. So thank you for that. If you would, check out the links in the podcast description, because they are there for you. Finally, if you love what you heard, hate what you heard, or not quite sure what you just heard, I want to know about it. Connect with me on Twitter at Jim Stroud, or LinkedIn, or Google+. Or pretty much anywhere you find me online. I'm everywhere. Okay, enough of that. Until next time, one last word spoken three times to my people at Randstad Sourceright. Love, love, love.